Welcome to Opera Out of the Box, unpacking opera piece by piece. I'm your host, Brad Cresswell, and today I'm joined in the studio by Rachel Cameron, who is Director of Marketing and Communications at Toledo Opera, and the Artistic Director, Kevin Bilsma, from Toledo Opera. And we have a couple of special guests in the studio. I want to introduce Carolyn Anderson, who is an intern and a doctoral student at Bowling Green State University and sings in the Toledo Opera Chorus, so there is a connection there. And also we have Raina Dawson, who is active as an advocate for all kinds of social justice programs here in our area, but also is a member of the Community Engagement Advisory Committee at Toledo Opera. And you're sort of an opera newbie, right,
Raina? Yes, I am.
I'm going to get confused with your two names, Rachel and Raina, right?
Yeah, and we had to sit next to each other.
Yeah, that makes it more difficult. Well, today's title of this episode is Opera 101, and more specifically, it's Toledo Opera 101. But I want to talk to all of you, but first, I want to give Raina a chance to tell us your story, right? So your story, it's basically our getting to know you a little bit segment, and I've got some music for you. Actually, I have a choice of music for you. Here's one. That can be background music or this one.
That's a hard choice.
Yeah. Well, pick one.
The first one.
First one? The first one I played?
Yes.
Okay, here we go. So just tell us your story.
Like my life story or my story?
Well, your story, not so much about opera, but about you, if we get to know you a little bit.
Sure. I'm a lifelong Toledoan. I grew up in the Rogers School District. I graduated in the class of 2006, the last of the old school building. I attended college in law school here at the University of Toledo. I got my JD and MBA in 2020. And as far as like music life, and high school, junior high school, and college, a little bit of college, I participated in the orchestra. So I was a part of the Toledo Youth Orchestra, the Toledo Junior Youth Orchestra.
What did you play?
Violin.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. So that's something I'd like to get back into, but I haven't been back into in over a decade.
Yeah.
But I love serving the community. I love people, and not like in a generic way. People are really awesome, even when we're angry or annoyed or happy or sad. We're all people with feelings, emotions, thoughts, and that's one thing I do like about the opera is that it can bring people together.
It can be very melodramatic as well, as can people, right?
Right.
What was the first opera you saw, Raina?
Perhaps La Traviata.
Yes.
With Catherine Lewis
yes,
and Zach Borchewski.
Yeah, La Traviata. That's. Would you consider that a good like opera for somebody to see, first of all?
It was my first opera, too.
I mean, really?
Not this production,
yes.
Thankfully. But back when I was 14, I saw Traviata for the first time, and still my favorite opera.
Just a couple of years ago.
Just a couple years ago.
Well, I want to go around and take the temperature. Carolyn, what is the first opera you ever saw?
Ooh, I think it was Nozze di Figaro.
The Marriage of Figaro, yeah.
Yeah, The Marriage of Figaro. And I think it's actually in English, so technically you're right. The Marriage of Figaro. And it was done at a smaller college up in Rochester. And my mom and I went to go see it. I think I was 15 years old. And yeah, it was a really good time. And it was a great first impression of opera.
Well, Rachel, you know what I'm going to ask you. What was the first opera you ever saw?
My first opera was Romeo and Juliet at the Minnesota Opera. I was in high school and a freshman in high school. My choir director took a group of us to the final dress rehearsal, not unlike a program we have at Toledo Opera.
Yeah. Now, Raina, I know that you are involved in the View Then Voice program. That was your introduction through Toledo Opera. How did that happen and what is that program about?
So the program is amazing because you get to go to the opera and you get tickets to go to the opera. You get to invite some friends and family to the opera. And what it was beautiful for me because I got to invite people that when I say never, they would have never considered going to the opera. They're like, I'm not doing that. Or I can't afford that. And to take them to the opera and to actually watch the opera with people that are actively paying attention, enjoying themselves, laughing, crying, in awe, shocked. It's a beautiful thing. And then to talk about it and unpack it, the operas afterwards with a group of people that went to View Then Voice was just It's an amazing thing.
What would you give for advice? You're a member of the advisory committee. What would you say to Toledo Opera and opera in general? What is the relevance of opera, and what should they be doing? What would be your advice?
My advice is to continue, which I think our opera does a great job of, quite frankly, but to continue to be open and continue to be relevant, which and continue to be powerful, and to continue to engage the community, continue to engage students. Like the fact that there's a person here participating in this podcast right now is something that I know isn't happening in other operas, right? I'm an attorney, so I deal with a lot of people that are kind of like, this is how things go, right? And they're not willing to change or willing to be flexible. I think the opera can do and is doing an excellent job of being flexible.
Well, I do have three different quizzes, and I want to get into it now with the first quiz, which is, which came first, the opera edition? So I'm going to give you three operas, so you tell me which one was written first, okay?
Are we ready? A team quiz?
This is a, well, please, let's see. We can either go as a team.
We're all holding hands.
or we can go one by one, but I think the team obviously wins out for this one. So whoever has the answer, just go ahead and say it, right? Okay, I've got some music for us. Let me see here. Perfect. All right. Which opera was written first? Was it Giuseppe Verdi's Rigoletto? Was it Georges Bizet's Carmen? Or was it Richard Wagner's Tristan and Isolde?
You couldn't have thrown a handle in there.
Monteverdi, that's it.
Well, just you wait, right? Okay, so what's our answer? Is it Rigoletto, Carmen, or Tristan and Isolde?
I'm going to go with Rigoletto. Yeah. Thanks, everybody.
Yeah. I have to defer to Kevin.
That is correct.
Yeah,
good job. That's one. Now, which opera by Puccini came first? Was it La Boheme, Madame Butterfly, or Tosca? Which of those three was premiered first?
I'd go with Boheme.
Boheme.
Yeah.
Boheme, that's what I said.
Yay!
Kevin's going to carry us through this.
You guys can participate, you know?
Yeah, which singer was born first? Was it Maria Callas, Luciano Pavarotti, or Placido Domingo?
Callas.
Yeah. Maria Callas, born in 1923. And
lives on.
Which opera house came first? Was it the Met in New York? Was it the Royal Opera House in London? Or was it La Scala in Milan?
I think it's La Scala.
La Scala is correct.
La Scala.
Yes.
Yay.
See, you guys are doing great here. Which opera came first? Was it Gaetano Donizetti's Lucia di Lammermoor? Was it Vincenzo Bellini's Norma? Or was it Hector Berlioz's Le Troyen? Which of those three? It's a little bit harder.
That is.
This opera
stumper
premiered in 1831. Which opera was it? Lucia, Norma, or The Trojans? Le Troyen.
Should we guess Norma? Does anybody else know? Oh!
It is Norma.
What a good guess!
I was hedging. Do you have the dates for Troyen?
No.
Because I was like, that's the odd boy out. I wonder.
Yeah. No? Oh, well. We give it to Rachel.
Raina.
Rachel, Raina.
Could we combine the names?
You're going to have to change your name after
this, right? Exactly.
We'll trade. Okay.
Yeah. We'll trade.
Which soprano came first? Was it Leontine Price, Renata Tibaldi, or Joan Sutherland? Which one was born first?
Tibaldi,
yes, in 1922. Okay, which early opera came first? Okay. Was it Monteverdi's L'Orfeo? Was it Purcell's Dido and Aeneas? Or was it Handel's Giulio Cesare?
Carolyn's really excited.
It's L'Orfeo.
Yes! His telling of the Orpheus legend, which has been done by so many composers.
Yeah. But
really, this is one of the first masterpieces of opera. Orpheus, written in 1607 by Claudio Monteverdi. Now, fast forward to the 20th century, which opera of these came first? Was it Peter Grimes by Benjamin Britten? Was it The Rake's Progress by Igor Stravinsky? Or was it Wozzeck by Alban Berg? Which of those three came first? Vocek came first. Yes. Indeed.
Yeah, Vocek.
1925.
Yeah, that's what we were saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
obviously.
Yeah, Kevin said it. I almost called him Raina. Right?
We are all Raina.
Yes. I'm just going to address everything to Raina. Which Baroque era composer came first, or which composer was born first? Was it Francesco Cavalli? Was it Jean Baptiste Lully? Or was it Christoph Willibald Gluck? Which of those was born first in 1602?
Not Gluck. It's not Gluck.
They were born.
Lully?
Cavalli?
Well, okay, we've heard all three names here.
Well, we heard not Gluck.
Not Gluck, yeah.
So we know that.
It's not Gluck. Process of elimination. So you have a 50-50 chance between Jean-Baptiste Lully and Francesco Cavalli. Which of those two do you choose?
Lully.
Okay.
Lully?
Yeah.
Wait, can I still get the point if I know how he died?
Not Lully. Everybody knows how Lully died. Raina, do you know how Lully died? He stabbed himself in the foot. They had a big baton, like he used to keep time with a big staff. And he stabbed himself in the foot and got gangrene and died of an infection.
See, not everybody knows that.
Yeah. Yeah. The most embarrassing death in classical music. Right there. Okay, one more. One more. But wait, there's more. This is for extra credit. Which opera house came first? Was it the Paris Opera, the Teatro di San Carlo in Naples, or was it the Vienna State Opera? Which of those three were built first in 1737? This house was built.
San Carlo,
that is correct.
Yay!
Okay, so I win the quiz, right?
We That's only got one quiz. Wrong.
I had all the answers right in front of me. So, Rachel, maybe you can talk a little bit about how Toledo Opera engages with the public, because that is your job, is, you know, making opera relevant and interesting to people who aren't necessarily in that world like Raina was, you know, before she came on board. I wonder if you can talk a little bit about the patron experience, right?
Sure thing. So at Toledo Opera, of course, we have our main stage productions, and that is probably the way that most people know of engaging with us. You hear an opera company, you automatically assume they put on operas. So, but we like to take that a step further by first and foremost pulling the themes of these operas, whether they're 200 years old or 5 years old. We are really good at figuring out what is happening in the opera that's relevant to the Toledo community. And with that, we then design companion programming to go with these operas in order to go out to the community. These are free or low-cost programs, and they kind of help us hype up the opera. So for Cinderella, for instance, last year, it was primarily a show about kindness. So we had a kindness royalty. It was intergenerational to relate back to Cinderella and the fairy godfather, so to speak, of Cinderella.
Because it's a different story in the opera.
We like to pull those themes. We also have core programming that is not necessarily main stage, but we use that to engage with the community. So we have Opera Outdoors, which is a free pop-up performance series. We have Opera Out of the Box, not to plug the podcast we're currently in, but that's something that we're using to engage the community. We have our educational programs that engage students of all ages. So we really like to try to bring opera, go just beyond main stage when we can.
So when people think of the opera, they think of the actual performances on stage and, you know, that it's a certain part of the year that you guys are active. But you're really active most of the year, right?
We really are. We operate, I would say, in the school year for the most part. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we're always up to something.
Yeah. Raina, how many operas have you seen? Have you been back to see the opera after you saw that first Trovatore?
Yes.
Yeah, you have been.
Maybe nine?
I think you've been to every opera since La Traviata.
Wow. Yes.
She hasn't missed one.
Yes.
That's more than me, by far.
Come on, you got to get with it.
Yeah, I know. What is it about opera that first appealed to you? Like, when you first heard it, what did you think?
So, I do not sing well at all. Will you catch me in a karaoke? Yes, ruining everyone's day, but I don't sing well at all. So, I love the vocals. I love the soloists as well as the chorus. I love the stage presence. I love the orchestra. I love the whole, conglomerate. And I know this is wild, and I know that I'm not alone in this, but the storytelling, the historical piece, prior to the opera, they do, there's an hour to the before the first showing, I believe. Mm-hmm. There's an hour educational piece where you can grab a cocktail and some snacks maybe and listen to the history of the opera, and I absolutely love that part. Yeah. I love the history of the opera. I like to know where it came from. I like to know about the cultural part of it. The whole thing just appeals to me.
Well, there's a long history of opera. We were talking about Monteverdi's Orpheus opera, and that was written in the early 17th century. It's been around for quite a while. Since 1600, I think. And, there's a lot of opera to be had, a lot of different kinds of operas. So you're on a journey of discovery, and
yes.
You have the whole world before you of opera. I wonder if, do you go listen to recordings of anybody? Do you have favorite singers, or how does that work for you? You'd rather stay live in the hall.
Yes, I don't have any favorites just yet. And it's difficult for me to have favorites in general, right?
Yeah.
My favorite food is French fries, but it took a while to get there.
Yeah. Well, let's switch gears for a second and talk about programming and aesthetics, because everybody has their own opinion of what makes a voice great. Kevin, I wonder if you can talk about this a little bit. What do you look for in a singer when you're programming in opera?
Well, it seems like we've been talking about flexibility a lot, in terms of programming, but we also look for flexibility in artists. As we're engaging in, doing operetta and musical theater as well as grand opera, we look for singers who are able to give us, abilities to sing in all genre.
Yeah.
We look for singers that aren't just the beautiful voice. We love beautiful voices, and there's a high price put on the beauty of the voice, but also the acting component. Is this a person that can portray this character and make it so believable that you can get out of your seat? You're so excited, to see where the story is going to go. I mean, we're doing Tosca this fall, and it's one of those operas that if the singer, yes, sings beautifully, but also is such an impactful actor, I keep thinking that maybe this time the ending of the opera is going to be different. It's I keep hoping. No,
yeah.
There really are blanks in those guns this time. And I think that's kind of the joy of opera. It's it is this discovery that Raina was talking about. But each time we enter the opera house, if we have a singer that's able to tell the story and tell the story in a dramatic and beautiful singing way, then, it's always discovery. It's always something new.
Yeah. Carolyn, you're a soprano, right? You're a singer.
I am a soprano and a singer, yes.
What is your viewpoint as far as what is of value for a singer? What are they able to do? Do you agree with what Kevin said?
I completely agree. I think that being able to tell a story is the most important thing. And I think when it comes to my favorite singers are the ones that are the best storytellers and actors. And I think of it as being an actor first and then producing the desired sound second.
Yeah. I want to get to the second quiz that I have, which is called Name That Opera. It's like a synopsis quiz.
Oh, dear.
And what I'm going to do, and you have
to boy.
You have to come up with the opera based on the sentences that I tell you, which come from the synopsis of the opera. So I have three sentences, and I'll just give them one at a time, and we'll go individually, I think is probably the best way. We'll start with you, Carolyn. Well, no, this is fairly easy as far as opera goes. So, Raina, we'll start with you, okay? I'm going to give you the first clue. A young poet falls in love with a frail seamstress. What opera would that be? Their passionate affair is marred by illness and poverty. And finally, tragedy strikes as the seamstress succumbs to her illness in the poet's arms. There's no cheating. There's no cheating.
I mean, I'm not even good at cheating.
Okay, I'm pulling out the big guns here. That was La Boheme.
La Boheme. Oh.
Yeah.
La Boheme.
I was trying to go.
Which?
I'm like, Boheme.
Okay, Rachel, your turn.
Okay.
A girl seduces a soldier, leading him to abandon his duties and his sweetheart. What opera is that?
Carmen.
That's Carmen. Yay! By Georges Bizet. Yay. Okay, Kevin. A noble man seduces women and deceives their lovers.
What's the next sentence?
Okay. His actions eventually catch up with him as he is dragged to hell by a statue that comes to life.
Because really, almost all the guys in operas could be
that first
Don Giovanni.
Yeah, they all go to hell.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody dies and they go to hell. Okay. A woman of ill repute, this is for you, Carolyn. A woman of ill repute falls in love with a young man and tries to leave her life of luxury for him.
Is it Manon?
Close. Let me give you the second sentence. She is persuaded to leave him for his own good, leading to a heartbreaking separation.
Oh, La Traviata.
La Traviata.
Yay!
Is correct.
We're on the edge of our seats.
Yes. Yes, now you should get this one. I'm going to hand it to you, okay? Raina, Rachel, Raina, whatever your name is. Okay. A famous singer and her lover become entangled in political intrigue. Now, that could be a few operas, but the operative word is singer.
Tosca?
Right? Tosca, that's
yeah,
right.
Way yeah. to go, Raina.
Woohoo.
Okay, Rachel. A soldier returns home to discover his beloved has been seduced by another.
Can I get another sentence?
Enraged, he confronts the seducer in a duel. You should know this.
I know. Cavalleria Rusticana?
No. The opera ends tragically as both men die.
Can I phone a friend?
What friend do you have in mind? Well, this is supposed to be Il Trovatore.
There's so much more to choose.
I know, but these are just, you guess the opera by these synopsis plot points. Okay, I'm going to give you another one here. The title character helps a young count woo a beautiful ward under the watchful eye of her guardian. That's a little hard, yeah. Through a series of clever tricks and disguises, they manage to outwit the guardian. The count and the ward are finally united in marriage.
Is this to me still?
It's to whoever wants to do it. I think it's to Kevin, actually.
Oh, dear. I wasn't paying attention.
I know what it is.
Go, okay. Say it.
It's Barber.
The Barber of what? Barber of Baghdad? Yeah, we have to be specific here. I've got four more here, five more. Wow.
Okay.
These are getting a little harder now.
Harder.
A prince is cursed. This is for you, Kevin. A prince is cursed to wander eternally until he finds true love. That should give it away right there. He meets a woman who vows to be faithful to him unto death. That should give it away right there.
Mm.
And her sacrifice breaks the curse and grants him peace.
Parsifal?
Close. Same composer.
Yeah.
Bum, 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 bum.
Oh, Dutchman.
Yeah, the Flying Dutchman.
Which, I'm a Dutchman, so I should have gotten that right away.
But you're not flying.
No.
The ancestors. Yeah.
Yes, okay. A young woman is accused of witchcraft and is sentenced to burn at the stake. This is for you, Carolyn.
Can I have another sentence?
Her lover, a knight, tries to save her, but is ultimately unsuccessful. This is an opera that is not done very often.
Oh.
The final sentence is, she ascends to heaven as the flames consume her. This is an opera by Pyotr Tchaikovsky.
Kevin, you want to take it?
Maid of Orleans?
Yes.
I've never seen that one.
God, it's got one of the greatest arias ever.
Okay.
The Maid of New Orleans, about Joan of Arc.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, Jeanne d'Arc.
I was like, it sounds like a Joan of Arc story, but I couldn't think of a Joan of Arc opera.
Okay. Here's another one for you. This is for you, Raina. Okay. A young Roman woman falls in love with an Egyptian general. I don't think that's right. Their forbidden love leads to their downfall. They're entombed together, choosing death over separation. It's, yeah. I hear you over there talking.
I know. You didn't hear anything.
What do you say? It was also turned into a musical by Elton John.
Yeah.
No. That is Aida by Giuseppe Verdi. Aida.
I was going to say Idea.
But a Roman? Did I hear a Roman?
I think
Ethiopian?
Ethiopian, it should have said, yeah. Yeah. Never mind. Okay.
It must be an updated version.
Yeah. Or Wikipedia.
For this one, a noble woman falls in love with an unfaithful warrior. That narrows it down.
And?
She devises a scheme to entrap him and secure his loyalty. And her plan fails, leading to her demise and final act of betrayal. It says Norma.
Oh.
Does that sound like Norma?
Yeah, I guess it does.
Classic Norma.
Yeah, it's classic Norma.
Yeah, and classic one last Norma. One here. A sorceress uses her powers to gain control over her enemies. No? Okay.
Dido and Aeneas?
No.
I mean,
that's not right.
It would work.
But not with
Clue.
Yeah. It might work. Her love for a warrior leads to a series of tragic events. I mean, it's very ambiguous. Right? And she ultimately dies, leaving her plans unfulfilled. Earlier, we mentioned Maria Callas. Well, she had a great success in this role.
Sorceress.
Yeah. By a composer who was alive when Beethoven was back in the...
Medea?
Yeah, Medea by Cherubini. Yeah, very well done.
That is very impressive.
All I could think of is Callas and that that amazing poster of her as Medea. It's like...
Yeah. So, what do you think when you... think of Maria Callas's voice? I mean, I see you like you know, in ecstasy with arms crossed on your chest. I mean, what is it about her that appeals to you?
You know, like Carolyn was talking about the storytelling with Callas. I was raised always, listening to the most beautiful of voices, and I love beauty in vocal color, you know. But with Callas, there was beauty, there was power, and there was always drama.
Yeah,
you know, you felt it. Like the you know, you hear all these beautiful recordings of "O mio bambino caro." You know, they're just when you hear Callas sing it, you know exactly what this teenage girl is going through.
Yeah,
you know, it's like I can't now not listen to it just for the sake of the beautiful aria, but for the storytelling. It's right. Like, so it's like, yeah, Daddy, I'm going to throw myself off of the bridge. And she means it.
And don't let me marry him.
Yeah.
All right. The people watching America's Got Talent don't know that.
No.
When they hear the aria.
Yeah. Not at all. Yeah. And Callas is just, it's sheer humanness in her voice. That, I mean, that's why I've come to the point in my opera loving now that I have to have the full experience. You know, I have to have the visual as well as the oral. But for a long time, I could just, sit down and listen to a recording and love it as much as, having that experience. Mm-hmm. With Callas, you get that whole experience just by listening to her sing.
Oh, wow.
It's that kind of power.
I think you, Kevin, and Raina have similar aesthetics, but, it just obviously you come from different worlds, so you interpret it differently. But it's really interesting, Raina, to hear from you talking as a newbie to opera, mm-hmm. as somebody who's never seen it before, what appeals to you about the opera. I wonder what appeals to you specifically about the singing. Is it that it's loud, it's unnatural. I mean, how would you characterize it?
Like passionate and powerful. And yes, it's loud, but it's really like passionate and intentional. It seems like really, I don't know how to really explain it.
Right. Are you a passionate person yourself?
Yes.
Yes, I assumed that you were going to say yes.
Yes.
I wonder if you could talk about the process of programming for the company, for the Toledo Opera in particular, like how you come up with operas and what is the process of going out and finding singers? Give us a little backstage glimpse.
Well, because we're a small company, we always have to take budget in mind, you know, when selecting a work. We have to be able to fill enough seats to, you know, make enough money to put on an opera. So we look at, you know, what used to be Opera News, considered to be the top 10 operas. You know, what are the operas that most people recognize? And so that's probably the key to every other season or so is going to be an opera that is a Bohème, a Tosca, Lucia, Nozze di Figaro, something that's really part of the repertory. We also are looking to bring in people to an opera that might not have ever experienced opera. So we're thinking musicals, you know, like we did Ragtime, which had such a powerful story behind it. We're doing South Pacific next spring, something that, again, people are going to recognize that will bring in perhaps an audience member that's never been to an opera, and they'll say, well, we like what they did with the musical. Maybe we'll come and see what they're doing next season as far as opera goes. So that's one of our considerations. But also, as both Raina and Rachel have talked about, we have this very strong community engagement component to what it is that we're offering. So we're always looking for, you know, the possibility of a new work, something like when we did Blue or I Dream a few years back, that has this component that tells a story that everyone in our community can relate to. And so it's not easy finding the right pieces. It is a balancing act, completely, Brad. That's a perfect term. And so that's about repertoire. Going with singers, we have a number of artist representatives that we really trust.
Yeah.
And we usually turn to them first and say, we're putting on, you know, Tosca, let's say, and, you know, who do you have in your studio that you think would be good for us for that? We may have them in for an audition. We may listen to recordings. As it turns out, for Tosca, we had some singers in mind that have been in recent productions at Toledo that we thought, this is the way to go with this opera. And so we were lucky enough that we were able to get those three singers.
Yeah, and I mean, there's something to be said for people returning to a company and performing different roles.
Absolutely.
At the same company.
We love, first of all, we love to nurture young talent at Toledo Opera. We love to nurture artists that feel that they're part of our family.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just a nice thing to say. We feel that when the opera-going audience feels that this artist is comfortable here, then that just makes such a difference to the whole opera appreciation.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I have one last flash round that I want to do with you guys before we hang it up here. I'm going to go through and say what the thing is. Let's see if I can get this right here without confusing myself. Okay, I will give you the definition, and then you give me the word. It's a glossary word, right, for opera. Now, trust me, Raina, this will be really easy.
We're going one at a time.
I'm getting daggers from your eyes right now. Okay,
should be on the stage. Okay,
yeah, definitely, very dramatic.
Yes.
Yeah. Let me find some music here. That works. Okay. All right, the first one is a solo vocal piece with instrumental accompaniment. What would that be? It's just a song. In fact, it's an Italian term that means song. An aria? Have you heard of an aria?
Yes.
Okay, well, that's it.
That's it.
Oh, yeah. Right. Oh. Okay.
Yeah, see, you knew.
Yeah, okay.
Isn't that right?
Yeah.
I could go the other way and say the term and you give me a definition for it.
This looks like you got a lot on that list. <over here. laughs>
Okay. To you, Rachel. A style of singing characterized by beautiful tone and agile vocal technique. What would that be?
What is bel canto, Brad?
That is correct.
And she did it in the form of a question.
Jeopardy style.
What is a comic or humorous character in opera? It's also a type of opera.
Yeah, buffo.
Buffo is correct. Very well done. All right, Carolyn. An elaborate, often improvised solo passage near the end of an aria.
A cadenza?
A cadenza is correct.
And where did you go to school, Carolyn? You're Bowling Green State University?
Okay, this should have gone to you, but I think it's going to go to Raina instead.
It doesn't have to.
Okay, who were a group of singers who performed together in an opera as a...
Chorus.
Chorus.
Yay!
Yay, well done. Okay, for you, Rachel.
Okay.
An instruction to repeat the beginning section of a piece to go from the head.
What is da capo?
Da capo is correct.
And you also went to Bowling Green State University.
Yeah. I did.
Here's one that Kevin will know. What is a celebrated female opera singer?
A diva.
A diva.
Like
that is
Tosca.
Correct. Okay. Carolyn, the text or script of an opera is called the what?
The libretto.
The libretto. Boy, you guys are cleaning up here. Now, this is a little harder, right? I'm looking
she
at Raina
phone
now.
A friend.
Okay. What is a recurring musical theme associated with a particular character or idea? It's associated with the operas of Richard Wagner, like the Ring Cycle and all that stuff, but it's been used by other composers like John Williams in his movies, especially in the Star Wars universe, and it's a German word. You may never have heard this word, I don't know.
Theme.
We're going to say yes. It's a leitmotif.
Oh,
a
no
leitmotif.
Way.
Yeah.
Oh,
nice.
Okay.
So
yeah.
Like Darth Vader has one.
It's sort of like the you know, you said it sort of in English, so we're going to give that to you. What is a style of opera, Rachel, with realistic portrayals of everyday life? What kind of opera is about realism?
Verismo. My brain was like blocking the word.
I saw what you did there. Okay,
no,
Kevin.
I didn't.
Kevin, what is a slight rapid variation in pitch used to add warmth to the voice?
Vibrato.
Vibrato, that's correct. Who is the person who writes the text for an opera? To you, Carolyn.
A librettist.
You got libretto and librettist.
Right.
Okay, well, here's a good... This is a learning moment, right? Okay.
Oh, boy.
Reina, what are expressions used to applaud singers, whether they're male or female, performers? Okay, that makes no sense at all, but let me start the music up here again. All right. The answer is bravo. You've heard the word bravo, right?
Yes.
So
brava?
It's, yes, you're on the right track there, brava and bravi.
Bravi.
Right. So it's like a quiz. I could ask you, what would you say if you have mixed gender? You know, you have women and men on the stage.
It's bravi.
It's bravi. That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bravo, bravo, bravi. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Well, you taught me something there. Okay. Rachel, what is a vocal technique allowing male singers to sing higher notes?
Falsetto.
Falsetto is correct.
That seemed too easy.
Okay, Kevin, what is a comic opera?
A comic opera? This is a comic. Opera buffa.
Opera buffa. Buffa. That's
what
correct.
Buffa.
Buffera.
Yeah.
I'll just call it Raina. Opera Raina.
Oh my God.
Okay. Carolyn, what is a serious opera? You've had the comic opera, now what is a serious opera?
Opera seria. Seria.
That's great. I think you've passed your doctoral dissertation.
Yeah. Right?
Yay!
Okay, what is a comic opera? Actually, it's technically an opera with spoken dialogue. But what would you call that?
Opera comique.
I forget whose turn it is.
Opera comique.
Yes.
Great.
Good.
Yes. Yay.
Excellent. Okay, what is a German opera with spoken dialogue? You, Rachel?
A Singspiel.
A Singspiel, excellent. That's correct. Okay, Kevin, what is a song with rapid lyrics, often humorous?
A patter song.
A patter song. That's right. Okay, and finally, to you, Carolyn. This is the make-or-break moment, right?
Oh, no.
You either pass your dissertation or you don't with this. Okay, this is a little harder. A voice type with the power of a dramatic voice and the brightness of a lyric voice.
Ooh,
what kind of voice is that?
It's on the tip of my tongue.
It's Italian. It's an Italian phrase. Oh, I see that doctorate slipping right through your fingers right now.
Dr. Ebright's going to be so mad at me.
It's like spun thread.
I know. Okay, I give up.
Spinto.
A spinto.
Spinto. Oh,
spinto.
Spinto.
Let the record show that she was pointing at her foot. Her toe. For that. Well, Raina, is there anything else that you want to say to our listening audience about your journey in opera so far?
I do want to say that if you haven't gone to any operas, you should come to Toledo Opera. And I do have a regret. I did not mention that I absolutely love the dance team at our opera. I forgot to mention that in the production. It was totally impressive what goes into making an opera happen. I just had no idea from ticket sales to engagement to talent on stage, off stage. It's a beautiful thing. So I look forward to continuing my journey.
Yeah, with the opera. Absolutely. Well, opera, you know, involves all kinds of stuff. There's not only the dancing and the singing and the chorus, all of that comes on stage, the sets,
the sound, the light, the translation. Yeah. It's mind-blowing.
It's all amazing. And the great thing about it is that it's also, you know, human in a way that a lot of art is not human or organic these days on the stage. Even when people go and sit in a house and they watch it unfold, it's hard for them necessarily to feel a connection like you have done with your experience with Toledo Opera. So I think that it's really something that speaks to the relevance of opera today. Mm-hmm. Kevin, I wonder if you want to tell us what is the relevance of opera? How does it relate to you in your life?
You know, I'm a huge lover of history. I just feel a connection that you know, human emotion has not changed in the time that human beings have been on this earth. And to me, because opera is a 400-year art form, I just feel that the relevance of it is that we are continuing to tell the same stories, the same human stories, and that we can relate to every character that's on stage, whether they're a noble person or a sorceress or something. There's something about the characters in opera, especially that combination of acting and singing and dancing and costume, that just remind us of our place in humanity. I just find that as long as there are human beings in this world, that opera is relevant.
I'll give you a cheer for that.
All
one.
Right. Thanks.
Well said. You've been listening to Opera Out of the Box, a co-production of WGTE Public Media and Toledo Opera. You can find previous episodes online at our website, wgte.org, and of course you can dive into all things Toledo Opera by visiting their website at toledoopera.org. I want to thank my guests today, Raina Dawson. Thank you, Raina.
Thank you.
And Rachel Cameron. Thank you, Rachel.
Thank you.
To Kevin also.
Thanks, Brad.
And Carolyn, thank you so much for agreeing to come in here last minute.
Thank
I
you.
Should say.
It was an awesome surprise to be invited to speak.
Voluntold.
No, I was so excited to get to be with in this podcast because it's such a fun podcast. So thank you for including me.
Okay. Well, we're glad to have you. I'm your host, Brad Cresswell, and thanks for joining us for Opera Out of the Box.